The story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
Dragnet.
Dragnet, the documented drama of an actual crime. For the next 30 minutes, you will travel step by step on the side of the law through an actual case from official police files. From beginning to end, from crime to punishment, the story of Dragnet. You're a detective sergeant. You're assigned to Juvenile Bureau. A vicious case of wanton and willful destruction of private property occurs in your city. Suspicion points to a juvenile. Your job? Find him.
Tuesday, April 10th. It was cool in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch out of Juvenile Bureau. My partner's Ben Romero. The boss is Inspector Balling. My name's Friday. It was 9:35 a.m. when I got to 1335 Georgia Street, the captain's office.
I won't ask you to sit down, Friday. I'm not going to be here that long.
Yeah, you sound mad.
Disgusted. Friday, I've been in this juvenile bar for 12 years. I've seen some pretty lousy cases come down the pike, but this is the topper.
Yeah?
I've seen pitiful kids, the result of broken homes. I've seen a kid's first real tears. 9-year-old shoplifters, 10-year-old thieves, 12-year-old murderers. I've seen them work their way from juvenile hall here to San Quentin. I thought I'd been through the book with kids, but this is a new one on me. I'm not going to try to tell you about it. I'm going to take you out and show it to you. Where's Romero?
In the squad room, checking over the overnight reports.
Get your hat.
Right with you.
Romero.
Yes, Skipper?
Come on with us.
Yes, sir.
Where's your car?
Right out front.
All right.
What's up?
A rotten mess.
We got in the car and drove south on Figueroa until we got to West 103rd Street. According to Inspector Bolling's direction, we turned right and went about 4 miles. He directed us to pull up in front of a one-story frame residence that had been converted into small business offices. On the right side going in was a neighborhood jeweler's shop. We could see him working in the window. Over the door of the office on the left was a lawyer's shingle. The gold lettering was new.
It's this way.
Lawyer's office.
That's right. Name's Paul Wilson. It's me, Mr. Wilson.
Oh, I come in, Inspector Bolling.
Mr. Wilson, this is Sergeant Friday, Romero, juvenile duty. I'm assigning him to this case.
How do you do, Sergeant?
Oh, yeah.
How do you do?
All right, look at it. Just look at it.
Look at that, Joe.
Yeah.
Paint.
All over everything. Now, look at that leather chair. Ruined. Desk smeared with the stuff. Green paint.
Looks like they threw it on with a mop.
The rug soaked with it. The walls. Look, Joe. Look, they even got the clock.
Yeah.
Take a good look. Remember it when you tag whoever did it.
These your law books, Mr. Wilson?
Yes, sir.
They didn't have to do this.
Poured paint all over them.
Yes, sir.
When all this happened?
Sometime last night. I found it this way when I got in this morning.
Any idea who did it?
That's why he called us, Romero. And we're gonna find ours.
I don't know who'd want to do a thing like this. I just opened my office 3 days ago. Just hung up my shingle.
You just started practicing law, that it?
Yes, sir, that's it. Graduated from Loyola University Extension Division. I've been looking for an office space for a long time.
Is anything taken?
No. It's such a dirty, rotten thing to pull. Undoubtedly a kid.
Crime report shows they got in the back door. Is that right, Mr. Wilson?
Can you come back here? I'll show you.
Okay.
Yeah, right here. You can see where they cut through the screen door.
It's all right. It's been checked.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah. I see.
Any pass key would fit the inside door, huh?
Yes, yes, that's right.
You can follow the trail of the green paint right from this door all the way through the house.
Yeah.
Estimated damage was about $1,800. Is that right?
That's what I figure, yeah. My low books are over $600 alone. Borrowed the money from the bank for the furniture.
You haven't noticed any kids in the neighborhood? None of them around while you were moving in?
No, I didn't see any. I moved everything in myself, rented a trailer. I made several trips to get it all over here. I guess that was a silly thing to do.
Oh, why?
Well, the store where I bought the furniture said they could deliver it, but oh, I couldn't wait to see everything in. First office, you know.
Yeah, we understand.
And we'll get right onto it. I don't have to tell you again, I want a fast answer.
Where do we start?
With an empty paint can.
Before we left Attorney Paul Wilson, we took a sample scraping of the green paint to serve as a color check. We started to canvass the neighborhood door to door. We covered the area for a radius of 6 blocks, questioning the residents and checking out the youngsters. We failed to come up with anything. We figured another good angle was to try the schools in the area. We checked on the students who had been in any kind of trouble involving malicious pranks. We had the principals line their students up. We looked them all over thoroughly for any evidence of paint of any kind on their person or on their clothing. The few leads we found led nowhere. After a week without success, we went back and rechecked the neighborhood. The paint stores to see if anyone had bought any green paint. Anyone they might have forgotten to tell us about the first time through. No leads. Monday, April 18th. Ben and I stopped for a Coke at a hot dog stand on the corner of 103rd and Oakview Avenue.
Every time I think of that boy's office, it makes me sick.
Yeah.
If we could just get some kind of a lead. Anything for a start. Pardon me. I'd be satisfied.
Yeah. Nothing to work on, like stabbing in the dark.
Joe?
Yeah?
Look down the street there.
Uh-huh.
This is Tin Can Day. Everybody's got them set out in front of their houses.
It's worth a try.
Let's start with that place across the street and work down the block.
Okay. Now, come on.
Had a cousin moved down from San Francisco. Took him almost a year to get used to this tin can system here in L.A.
That so?
Yeah.
Let's check these here.
I don't see any paint cans.
No. None here either.
How about those down there?
Okay.
The things people throw away.
Yeah.
Look at this, Joe. Perfectly good toy. Now, why would anybody want to throw that out?
Whoop.
Wheel missing off the back here. Didn't see that.
No paint cans here.
Yeah, nothing here. Some more down there.
That's the way it went. Block after block, house after house. We covered 5 blocks checking the containers full of empty tin cans.
Sure a lot of cans here. Must be a new bride, huh?
I don't know. Find anything?
Not yet.
Say, how about this?
Huh?
This one.
1 gallon can? Green.
Let's ask.
Yes?
Police officers, ma'am. This empty paint can belong to you?
You can have it if you want. We threw it out.
Do you have any children?
Yes, a boy.
How old is he?
1 year.
Oh. Would you mind telling us what this paint was used for?
Oh, we just moved here. Is there any law about throwing out paint cans?
No, ma'am. We're investigating a case.
Oh.
You used this paint to redecorate?
Yes. Come in, I'll show you. In here. See?
Oh, yeah.
Carlos did it, my husband. I told him he should have waited till Sunday.
Uh-huh. Whose idea was it to paint the bathtub?
Carlos? He's going to night school learning English. The teacher told him the best way to learn was to speak it around the house.
Yes, ma'am.
It's better for the little one, too. Well, anyway, Carlos gets paid on Saturday night. Then he stops at a little place with the fellows he works with and has a little drink. He gets his paycheck cashed there.
Uh-huh.
Oh, when he came home, he said he was going to paint the bathroom for me. I guess he felt a little good. I was in the kitchen and I yelled to him to paint around the tub. Around the tub, I said.
Yeah?
Like I said, he doesn't know English too good yet. We have a green tub.
I see. Well, thank you.
He's going to clean the tub next Saturday. We use a shower.
Painted that too, didn't he?
Well, thank you very much. Sorry to have disturbed you.
That's all right. I'm worried about next Saturday night.
Why's that?
There's no telling what he's going to do with the paint remover.
4:30 p.m. We were no closer to finding out who spread that paint around the attorney's office than when we started. We continued checking the neighborhood, but found nothing. A few minutes before 5, we got a call to check back in with Inspector Brawling. We drove back to Georgia Street Juvenile. It was 5:25 when we checked in.
Did you do any good out there?
Nothing at all.
We've had a little action. A new one.
What's that?
Came in about an hour ago. Somebody poured kerosene on 3 palm trees and set them on fire. 3 trees, 3 different blocks.
Yeah?
Kept the fire department busy. Tied up traffic for several hours. I've sent additional juvenile cars out there to cover. Happened in the same general area as the paint job.
Any leads?
No. Anybody who'd smear paint all over an office might set a palm tree on fire. Same type of a gag, malicious mischief.
You think there's a connection between the two?
Anybody's guess. The paint routine's a new one. So is the palm tree. They're both one-time-only shots. Maybe the two connect somewhere along the line.
Maybe. Let's get us stopped. Can't find a place to begin.
We've tried everything we know.
We'll start again tomorrow.
That isn't going to make that young lawyer feel any better. Yeah? Who? To take him down to the detention room? He does, huh? All right, I'll see him. Yeah, right now. 16-year-old boy out there says he's got to see me.
Want to talk to him alone?
No, that's all right. You stay.
Uh-huh.
Come in.
You're the chief?
My name's Bowling of Juvenile Bureau, yeah.
Could I talk to you alone?
These two officers work with me. Can you talk in front of them, son?
I guess so.
Come on over here. Want to sit down, son?
I'd rather stand if it's okay.
All right. What's in your mind?
I want to confess.
What do you want to confess, son?
I murdered somebody.
We continue Dragnet.
...6 p.m., Monday, April 18th. The boy identified himself as Arnold Waterman. He gave his age as 16. He told us that 2 days before at 98th Street and 2nd Avenue... ...he had shot a man to death and hidden his body in the basement of a house. He was taken to the interrogation room... ...where a police stenographer took his statement. Inspector Brawling sent Ben and I out to check his story. 9:30 p.m. We drove back to the Georgia Street Juvenile... ...and went to the interrogation room.
Arnold.
Yes, sir.
These two men have been out at 98th Street and 2nd Avenue, checking your story.
Did you find the body?
There's no body out there.
Well, there should be. I put it in the cellar.
There's no house out there. It's a vacant lot. We checked all the houses near there. You sure you killed somebody?
Of course I'm sure. I stole the gun. I shot him 3 times in the back.
What did you do with the gun?
I threw it in Westlake Park.
Where?
In the water. I rented a boat and I rowed out to the middle. That's where I threw it in.
why did you kill the man?
I don't know. I didn't like him.
Now, look, boy, you didn't kill anybody. There's nothing to back up your story. There's not an ounce of truth in it.
How do you know? You haven't found the body. Just wait. If you knew where to look, you could find it.
We've looked every place you told us to. You're lying to us, son. Why?
Well, I never liked the old man. I hated his wife. I killed her, too. I wasn't going to tell you that.
Where do you go to school?
I quit school to sell papers. I had to support my mother.
Where's your father?
I don't know. My mother wouldn't tell me. That's where I met the old man I killed, selling papers. He was my boss. None of us liked him. Nobody had the nerve to do it but me. The rest of the guys, they were scared, but not me.
What's the old man's name?
I can't think of it right now.
He was your boss?
Well, he never told us his name. We just worked for him.
Where did you sell papers?
I don't remember. I had to sell papers. We were going hungry. I couldn't stand to see my mother starve.
Couldn't your father work?
I don't know where he is. I told you that. We tried to get on relief, and they wouldn't let us. I made a lot of money selling papers. After a while, we didn't need relief anymore. I made $100 a week.
Why are you lying to us, son?
Well, if you think I'm lying, why don't you let me go home?
I've sent for your mother, Arnold, and she'll come down and take you home.
Oh, I didn't want her to know about this. I may have to go to the gas chamber. This made her feel bad. You shouldn't have called her.
That's no use.
Well, let's go back to the office. His mother ought to be there by now.
All right.
Ben, you want to stay with the boy?
Right.
You better go out and find that body.
Come on, Joe.
I killed that old man. You can't say I didn't.
The boy's a pathological liar.
Yeah, it looks that way. Probably an inferiority complex.
And this is the way of making himself important.
We all know he didn't kill anybody, but I wonder if he's got something else on his mind.
Oh, how do you do? You're Mrs. Waterman?
Yes. Inspector Balding?
Yes, ma'am. This is Sergeant Friday.
How do you do?
How do you do? You'll have to excuse my appearance. I slept a little late today.
We've got your boy down the hall. He's all right. Trying to get us to swallow a few tall stories.
Oh, yes, he's like that. What did he tell you?
Tried to give us a story about killing somebody.
Well, I'm not surprised. This isn't the first time. I'll never understand that kid.
Has your boy ever been in an institution, Mrs. Waterman?
Oh, no. He's not bad. He just likes to lie all the time. He's an awful liar. Went to his high school principal the other day. Told him his father and I beat him, that we wouldn't give him any lunch money.
Where is your husband?
He has a newspaper concession on one of the Eastern Railroad trains.
How often is he home?
Once a week. Sometimes every 2 weeks. It's the only business he knows.
Yes, ma'am.
Maybe that's the reason the kid's the way he is. My ma always used to tell me a kid needs his father. Still, whenever my hubby's home, he always does the right thing. Arnold started telling these lies a long time ago, and ever since his father found out, he catches it.
How do you mean?
A good strapping. That's all a kid like he'd understand. His father knows how to handle him. Whenever he lies, he takes the strap to him.
You think that's the best way to handle it?
Don't you?
Certainly no harm's been done as far as we're concerned. But if you wouldn't mind a little advice, do you mind my telling you?
No, not at all.
That boy needs care, and he needs it bad. A strap's not the answer. He needs attention, good supervision, and a lot of companionship. I'm not conducting a class in child psychology, but care for that boy of yours. Care for him before the state has to.
Oh, it's just these stories of his. That's what's wrong with him. He came home the other night with the wildest tale I've ever heard.
Yes, ma'am.
Said he threw green paint all over somebody's office.
Ben and I drove out to the Waterman home. We checked through the boy's belongings. His mother showed us his room. In his closet, we found a pair of corduroy trousers, a white T-shirt, and other articles of his clothing, spattered with the same shade of green paint that had been found on the office and furnishings of attorney Paul Wilson. We asked Mrs. Waterman where her son Arnold was on Sunday night, April 9th, the night the office had been broken into and smeared with paint. She told us she didn't know, but that he came home that night with paint on his clothing. 2 days later in juvenile court, the calendar was called. Arnold Waterman's name was first on the list. The judge, the subject, and all those concerned in the case retired to the judge's chambers.
Arnold, it alleges in this petition that on April 9th at approximately 8:30 p.m., you entered the office of Attorney Paul Wilson's at 9218 West 103, where you willfully and without Mr. Wilson's permission did maliciously damage his office to the extent of approximately $1,800 by pouring paint over his rugs, furniture, books, and other articles in his office. Is this true, Arnold?
Yes, sir.
Do you know Mr. Wilson?
No, sir.
Arnold, I'd like to know why you did that.
I felt like it.
Oh, you'll have to give me a better answer than that, youngster.
Well, that's the best I can do. That's good enough, isn't it?
No, it isn't good enough. Officer Friday.
Yes, Your Honor.
You and Officer Ramiro investigated this case from its inception?
We did, sir.
As a result of your investigation, what's your opinion of this boy's truthfulness?
Well, I think I can speak for Officer Ramiro. In all our talks with the boy and our observations of him, it's our opinion, for what it's worth, that the boy is a pathological liar. Basically, he seems to have the makings of a good youngster. His environment's bad. Seems to have very little, if any, parental guidance. He tells lies, Your Honor. Lots of them.
It seems to be everyone's opinion.
Well, it's not mine. I'm getting sick and tired of everybody calling me a liar. Do you hear?
Young man, sit down in that chair. We review a great many juvenile cases here in my private chambers, but that does not alter the fact that you are in a court of law. You will lower your voice, speak in a gentlemanly fashion, and tell the truth. Now, is that understood?
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Waterman, could you give us any reason for your son's behavior?
It's a mystery to me, Judge. Fred, that's his father. He can't understand it either. He's always lied. His father beats him for it. I guess he'll always lie.
That's all you can say in your son's behalf?
Well, what else is there to say? He's a liar.
Arnold, I'm going to ask you once more. Why did you smear paint all over Attorney Paul Wilson's office?
I didn't like him.
Why didn't you like him?
Oh, I didn't like him, that's all. Tall, skinny, funny-looking guy.
You mean you destroyed his property because you didn't like his looks?
Oh, something like that. He was cheap. I saw him moving in. He had a trailer. He was moving his own stuff in. Why didn't he hire a mover like everybody else? I don't like cheap people.
Do you know anything about this man, Wilson?
No. Why?
What business was it of yours whether or not Mr. Wilson decided to move his own furniture? Do you know that he's a young man, not much older than you, Arnold? He just graduated from law school, took a lot of time, took a lot of money. Money that he earned to put himself through school. And you sit there, a mere sketch of a boy, passing judgment on a fine young man like Paul Wilson. Boy, let me tell you something. I don't know if you're a God-fearing lad or not, but you'd better fall on your knees and ask forgiveness and hope that somebody hears you and that he hasn't lost patience with you. You better raise up those sights of yours, lad, and pray for forgiveness. Well, I hope those tears mean something, Arnold. Now, do you have anything to say before I pass judgment on this case?
Yes, sir, I have. I'd like to tell you something else I did. There were some palm trees out there, and I put kerosene on them and set them on fire.
Officer Friday, would you know anything about this?
Yes, Your Honor. That checks with our reports.
Any property damage?
No, Your Honor. Kept the fire department pretty busy, that's about all.
I didn't kill anybody. I just made that up.
Yes, yes, we know, Arnold. Do you have anything else to add, Mrs. Waterman?
No. I don't know what you can do about the kid. I'm glad it's somebody else's problem.
According to the findings of the probationary officers and the investigating officers, and what I have heard and observed in these chambers, I have no alternative but to remove this boy from his present home and environment and place him in a foster home where he will receive closer supervision and the care that he requires. Does that meet with your approval, Mrs. Waterman?
Oh, that's fine with me, Judge. Fred and I can hardly make things meet now, and it's a shame to waste what money we have on this kid. It's all I can do to squeeze out the new clothes I need. Fred likes me to look nice when we go out.
Then you approve this plan.
Oh, I can't wait to tell Fred.
Well, when you tell Fred, you can also tell him the taxpayers are not going to assume the burden of the mistakes that you and your husband lavished on this boy.
Oh, what do you mean, Judge?
The expense of placing the boy in this foster home comes to the amount of $35 a month. You and your husband will pay the sum. The laws in the state of California do not make the parents responsible for the torts of their children unless contributory negligence can be proven. In my eyes, it is contributory negligence on your part, but unfortunately, it cannot be proven. Any faults that this boy may have are yours. You, as a parent, are responsible.
We did the best we could in raising the kid.
Madam, you didn't raise him. Hearing dismissed.
On April 18th, a hearing was held in the private chambers of Judge Frank J. Smith, Juvenile Court, City and County of Los Angeles, State of California. You have just heard the results of that hearing. You have just heard Dragnet, authentic cases from official files. This is a Grace Gibson production, directed by Lawrence H. Cecil.